is tightening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn.
We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
What do Tony Orlando and Don have in common with Secretariat? Well, I'll tell you. Both were number one 50 years ago today. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. Yeah, Secretariat actually ran in the Bayshore, I want to say it was, 50 years ago yesterday. And we'll talk plenty more on our continuing celebration of Secretariat's 50th anniversary through the Triple Crown when we talk to Kate Chenery Tweedy, the daughter of Penny Chenery Tweedy, and she'll disclose a few items on the upcoming April 1st celebration there in Ashland. And I wonder how much of that will involve Tony, Orlando, and Don. Probably not that much. Also on today's show, we got Daryl Wood. He's back! Daryl Wood's back in the leadoff slot. We'll talk to him in just a few moments. Derby Bill Watson in the anchor leg of the show, and then Keith Fustel, the line maker at Laurel. He was really going through some paper and pencil, I think, yesterday, setting up the line. They have five stakes races at Laurel today, including the private term stakes. So we'll talk to Keith Fustel with Frank Vespi's segment, Living the Dream, here in about a half hour or so. But this last weekend on Off to the Races, our feature race, no stops this week, by the way, on the Kentucky Derby Trail. Kind of a week off, thank God, with all the basketball action happening. It'd be really hard to start handicapping Triple Crown prep races, so we at least get 1 week off. They come back in full force next week. But last week it was the Tampa Bay Derby that was run at Tampa Bay Downs and featured a field. We had Peter Vegso on the show. He had Lord Miles in the race. We had 12 going to the gate in the Tampa Bay Derby last week. Colonial Downs track announcer Jason Beam also calls races at Tampa Bay. Here's how he saw it coming down the stretch in the Tampa Bay Derby.
As they come to the top of the stretch, a scramble here, Dreaming of Coda down the outside, Prairie Hawk, Classic Car Wash continues to make up ground down the center of the track. Here comes that big gray Tappet Trice right down the outside. Tappet Trice trying to mow down Classic Car Wash. Here comes Tappet Trice, and Tappet Trice going to go on to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
Luis Saez delivers the favorite there. Derby Bill actually had Shesterkin as his selection. I had Classic Legacy. I did outfinish Derby Bill there, got third, but we tried to stay away from the chalk, and tried to get you some value. Didn't happen. Tappet Trice, a convincing winner for Todd Pletcher and owners Whisper Hill Farm. Only paid $3 for the win there, but nice racing at Tampa Bay Downs last week on Saturday. And just a kind of a quick update, Tappet Trice appears to be going to the Bluegrass Stakes. We'll talk a little bit here about Forte's plans with Daryl Wood, who's coming up next. We got Practical Move, who is second in the Derby standings. Next start will be in the Santa Anita Derby. Tappet Trice is currently sixth, by the way, in the point standings. So departure, a little disappointed to hear about Litigate, who Todd Pletcher was sort of hinting of this over the course of the last 2 weeks, I think he was hoping something would get better in time, but an undisclosed setback is forced litigate from the Triple Crown field. Centennial Farms has some Virginia ownership, and he's a Virginia certified thoroughbred, so it's a little disappointing to see that litigate, who we've talked about a little bit with Don Little Jr. there, Centennial Farms, will not be taking part in the Triple Crown pitcher, but we have other horses, and Daryl Wood, there's no question on St. Patrick's Day that we would be playing any other intro music but this. It's like a carbon four-leaf clover leaf. Daryl Wood has made a few plans, I think, for tonight. He's joins us now on Off to the Races. And Daryl, do you need any tickets?
No, but I'm glad my two-week benching is over with. And, you know, I guess when a coach benches a player, they come back stronger. So hopefully this will be a strong couple minutes.
Yeah, we'll try and give you a little bit of a break here every now and then. I know the dogs really enjoyed it the last 2 weeks. They're probably looking up at you this morning saying, why are you cutting us off so short, you know? But
if you keep playing Tony Orlando at all the bumpers, I'm going to have to listen for the whole hour. So, kudos for your first song selection.
I've been listening to that song in quite some time. But yeah, I was astonished. You know who else was like number one during that time? Killing Me Softly, Roberta Flack. Was right after You Are the Sunshine of My Life by Stevie Wonder. I played Tony Orlando and Dawn because that's two legs of the Triple Crown when Secretariat won it. That was the number one song. And My Love by Paul McCartney was the number one song when he won it.
We're old if we remember those.
Yeah. No, I actually remember listening to some of those. Daryl, it's great to have you back on the show. And let's maybe start off a little bit with Forte. Make sure we get this in because we got a very busy show here and upcoming interview with Kate Chenery, who I spoke to earlier this morning. That one is pre-recorded, a little bit of a conflict there. So we try and keep them at least recent if we can't get them live. But she'll talk a little bit about the Secretariat celebration. But the Southgate Farm up in Millwood, Virginia, Amy Moore's farm is starting to get a little more attention as this Virginia breeder who has the horse. There's really no question about it. If you don't want to take my word for it, just look at the challengers trying to line up for this horse in the Florida Derby. Nobody wants a piece of Forte right now. The number of possible horses, I think, is three that want to face Forte right now in the Florida Derby, especially on a track that he's proven to be so well on. Tell us the latest out of Forte's camp here in Virginia up at Millwood.
Well, like you said, Nick, Amy Moore is the owner of Southgate Farm, and she's the breeder of Forte, and she raised the horse as well up in Millwood. But she's going to be getting a lot of attention here in the coming days leading up to the Derby, because even this week, TVG was out at her farm doing a piece. I believe Thursday there was a DC TV station out there, and it's only going to ramp up as his success continues, and it looks like the Florida Derby next. But yes, how cool is it to have a Virginia breeder as the favorite in the Derby? So there's going to be a lot of attention on that five-letter horse Forte coming in the next few days.
Over $1.7 million in earnings for Forte. Just a great career already. And this is for Mike Rapoli, who was the innovator of Vitamin Water, who now is the current owner of the horse. But yeah, just a horse that seems to be on a roll. We do have quite a dilemma emerging here for you. I think I know which way it's going to go, but April 1st is going to be a no-joke day for you. What part of the state are you going to be in?
I'm losing sleep over this. I can't believe that of all the days to unveil this magnificent Secretariat statue in Ashland, Virginia. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal day. And as phenomenal, that's the open day of the harness racing season up in Woodstock, Virginia. So I'm going to have to be up in, with the Pacers and Trotters and drivers and trainers. But I'm sure we're going to see a lot of attention paid to Ashland, VA, and can't wait to hear Kate talk more about it here later in the show. But what an event that's going to be up in Ashland.
Yeah, I mean, just we'll get into that a little bit later with her interview. Forte, by the way, worked yesterday morning a half mile in 50.7200. So that was, I think, at Palm Beach Down. So it just seems to be moving toward that. You mentioned the harness meet up at Shenandoah there in Woodstock, Virginia. Maybe just a quick note, free admission to free parking, just a great atmosphere. The first spring meet,
but I think more importantly for listeners, it's the first time ever that we will have the signal on Dish TV, and fans anywhere in the country will be able to bet it bricks and mortar locations and online locations locally. Any Rosie's, gaming emporiums, any of the OTBs at Breakers and Henrico, or Buckets Bar and Grill in Chesapeake, and online, of course. So really, I think this is going to be real kind of a coming out meet for us. A lot of fans are going to be exposed to Shenandoah Downs for the first time. So very excited about that, and excited about steeplechase racing that is in season, especially come next month. So everything is spring-like here in Virginia. So lots of stuff going on, Nick, in the next few weeks.
Boy, it really is. A calendar fills up really fast. Daryl, thanks for jumping in, and we look forward to talking to you here in the leadoff in the upcoming shows. Thanks so much, and yeah, thanks for keeping us so informed with so much coming upon us so quickly here.
And I'm going to be listening for the song Knock Three Times later in the show, so.
We'll see what we can do.
Have a good show.
Enjoy the show tonight, too, by the way. Carbon Leaf playing at the Jefferson Theater here in Charlottesville. Daryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races. Yeah, just kind of going through these. Let's kind of take a quick walk through the leaderboard for the Triple Crown. We mentioned Forte with 90 points, almost separating himself from the field. Practical Move with 60 points, headed for the Santa Anita Derby. Confidence Game, the winner of the Battaglia. I'm not sure exactly where he may go. I saw that he might just go straight to the Kentucky Derby. I have a hard time believing that, but that's the third horse in the standings with 57. 54 for Angel of Empire and Raise Kane. Tappet Trice, we mentioned, will be in the Bluegrass with 50 points. Rocket Can, Red Route 1, come next. Their next starts will be in the Arkansas Derby. Instant Coffee will be in the Louisiana Derby. And then Classic Car Wash in the Bluegrass Stakes. So you can just see there where Two Fills, by the way, the horse that won at Colonial Downs, will be in the Jeff Ruby Stakes up at Turfway Park next week. So you can just see where everybody is running away from Forte, and not in the lead either. They're all trying to catch up to him. The wanted to also just sort of news, just quickly outside of horse racing, want to send a congrats out to Virginia Tech women's coach Kenny Brooks, winning their first round game yesterday, 58-33 over Tennessee Chattanooga. They play Sunday at 5, South Dakota State. Kenny Brooks played basketball with them in Waynesboro for years as down in the Waynesboro Y, and he has gone through and had a great career at JMU, now at Virginia Tech, and has really turned around that program. Just couldn't be more proud about the accomplishment of the Hokies and what Kenny has done there in Blacksburg. Also, real quickly, by the way, I was really surprised to hear Randolph Macon lost last week. That was actually before the show. I was in so much shock I didn't even mention it. But Christopher Newport is playing in the Division III championships at 4:06 today against Mount Union. So congratulations to those schools there, and good luck to Christopher Newport today. Our next guest on Off to the Races, I spoke to earlier this morning, so this was pre-recorded, but I spoke with Kate Chenery Tweedy about becoming Secretariat's new ambassador and custodian. She is obviously the daughter of Penny Chenery, and just kind of asked her what her role is as we lead off this interview, how she sees her role and how welcome she is of it moving forward toward this great celebration.
Well, I grew up in Colorado. My parents moved out there after the war and had a horse and loved horses, went back to Virginia all the time to visit my grandfather at the meadow in Doswell near me. Loved seeing the horses grow up and being at mom's side when she was learning the business, when she took it over from her dad. And I, we got to name horses. We got to go visit the foals in the spring. But so when Secretariat came along, I was in college and would come down periodically with her and got to see him as a foal and then as he grew. And then where I was during his Triple Crown run was I was in college. And but I was in New York periodically, or I didn't get to go to the Derby or the Preakness. I really wish I had, but mom and her brother and sister had so many business friends, relatives who wanted to be there. We kids only really got to go to the Belmont, but of course we were tuned in the whole time. But yeah, my only really close-up seat was at the Belmont.
You've become really the new ambassador, custodian of Secretariat's legacy. It's certainly done with the help of so many others. Very active now, moved back to Virginia. Tell us a little bit, I guess, about the unveiling of the statue and some of the ceremonies coming up here April 1st in Ashland, Virginia, right off the Randolph-Macon campus.
Yeah, I started traveling with mom when she was older, and that really sort of, in some ways, passed the mantle to me when, she was not as able. And so I got to see her with the fans and really get a feeling of how much people love him. So when I moved back to Ashland, we were presented with this opportunity to erect a beautiful life-size and a half statue. It became to me a real sort of mission, because Virginia has no statue to Secretariat. It's hometown, hero. It's greatest equine athlete. And it's sort of a point of pride that Kentucky has 4, soon to be 5, New York has 2, we've got none. So also Ashland is sort of it's such a great town and it really complements it. So what's happening on April 1 is the statue is actually coming in. It's being finished at the foundry as we speak. Coming in on a flatboard from the foundry, and we're going to unveil it. We're going to have a big town-wide party. We're going to have music. We're going to have gospel choir, including one of the men who helped raise Secretariat at the farm. We're going to have birthday cake, and then we're going to have presentations by the sculptor. I'm going to do a talk. We're going to show the movie in the morning for those who haven't seen it at the Ashland Theater. It's just going to be a really fun party. We'll have an auction, vendors, all kinds of things. So, yeah, just to celebrate this opportunity and bring people in on the fun of it.
I was watching a great documentary, I think one of the best ones that I've ever seen, and that was the Sports Century documentary that ESPN did some 20, 25 years ago.
I was hoping you would say that. That is absolutely the best. I agree.
There were so many people that gave testimonies, and I'm going to leave so many out here, but just a real quick list I wrote down while you were talking. Chris Schenkel, Jack Whitaker, Clem Florio, Jim McKay, Hank Goldberg, Tom Hammond. Many are now deceased that took a very prominent role in that documentary, and they almost to a man echoed the sentiment that we will not see another Secretariat in our lifetime. And for most of those great correspondents, That was true. The closest thing would probably be American Pharoah. 50 years later, did you think Secretariat's impact back then is as big as it is now? His legacy is as large as it is today.
No, you know, we had no idea. I mean, I think we knew we were seeing something unbelievably special and really inspiring. But I think we all thought, gosh, maybe racing is just evolving. What will we see next? And then, of course, we haven't seen anything as close at all. I mean, his Triple Crown times, if you add them up, the three races are 6 seconds faster than the closest Triple Crown winner. And that's the creme de la creme. But, you know, no, we had no idea. And as the years have gone by, it just is clearer and clearer that we probably won't ever see anything quite as wonderful. And, of course, American Pharoah was one of his descendants. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not. Yeah.
And so American... was Justify. Yep, both Justify and American Pharoah are Secretariat descendants.
That's interesting. The two Triple Crown winners recently have that lineage back to Secretariat, when Secretariat was not a really outstanding sire by any means.
I would disagree with that, that he was not. Do you mind if I expand?
Sure. No, go ahead.
So he, initially it looked like, oh, he's not going to duplicate himself. But, of course, you know, Einstein never duplicated himself. You know, when you're that good, you're not going to reproduce yourself exactly. But what he did was produce three granddaughters that went on to, or three daughters that went on to produce grandsons that are still very dominant in the bloodline. So he was a great broodmare sire, meaning his daughters produced champions. So that's why I would say, no, he actually was. It's just he didn't produce. His first sons were not as outstanding as his daughters.
You may have answered my next question in saying this, but I'll give you an opportunity to do so. With Penny Chenery, she's portrayed as being just like a simple housewife in many of the movies and some of the articles. And your mom was not that. She had a degree from the Columbia University Business School. You know, she wasn't feeding Secretariat in between doing the laundry and the dishes. She was quite exceptional. What do you think is the greatest myth untrue about Secretariat that should be should be brought to daylight? You may have brought it up here with Secretariat's lineage.
You know, I did, actually. I'm sorry I jumped the gun on that, but it's true. That is sort of the biggest myth. I guess you could also say some of the myths were that he was kind of docile in some ways. He wasn't. He was a stallion at the track, and, you know, you didn't actually want to put your hand anywhere near his mouth. But, you know, you could feed him carrots if he was in a good mood. So he was never mean like some stallions, but he was very lively, very curious, and very, mom would say, on the muscle, very kind of like an athlete, like a boxer, ready to enter the ring.
With special equipment because of his the girth that he had. On the muscle was very accurate. What was Secretariat's perhaps greatest factual truth? I mean, what's something that is sort of outstanding that people might not know about, that might surprise people, that might be a little known true fact about Secretariat?
So one of the most surprising is something that people may know. He did actually always run faster after he lost a race and broke a record. That's one thing. But the other thing is he really was attuned to people in the way I think most horses are not. You know, he would watch an airplane go by in the sky. He was aware when he lost a race and would go and sulk in the corner. You know, played keep away with his groom. You know, he really – oh, and he posed for the camera. I mean, he literally did. The movie mentioned some of these things, but they are strange but true. You know, movies sometimes exaggerate. These were no exaggerations.
Becoming a Secretariat's ambassador, you know, for his legacy – is something that is not new to you. You are an author yourself. You have the book Secretariat's Meadow and the story of Reba Ridge, which often gets lost as being such a prominent role you know, what would in 1972, what would emerge in 1973. You've really become, you know, taking stock and relish this role now. Who wouldn't? But, you know, what are some of the challenges to this role?
Well, I am a writer by nature, and so I like writing, and I like, talking about writing, and I do like meeting fans and selling books, but I think I'm not so much I don't just like making appearances or going to tracks and waving and saying, hey, I'm Secretariat's sister, which is what some people call me. That's sort of not my style, but I really do like, it was Mom's passion, really, to, she always said since he couldn't talk, she had to speak for him. And, you know, she really believed that it was a way to give back, to get, be out there for the fans and to keep his legacy alive and to keep interacting with the people who loved him. So I've sort of taken that on in the same vein because it was important to her and she's gone. And, you know, people still are crazy about him, which is wonderful.
You mentioned earlier in the interview the gospel choir and some of the grooms, perhaps, that may be coming back for the reunion. How important is that? What might we be looking forward to on April 1st during this celebration up in Ashland? And how important is that part of Secretariat's story?
Well, you know, I think it's an undertold part of the story, and I do think it's very important because, like raising a child, when you raise a great champion, you need a village. And the village that raised Secretariat was exceptionally talented, very sensitive. They just did a great job. And people at the track always said that the horses coming from the meadow were beautifully prepared. And I think that was true. And what I've been doing is working with many of the grooms who are descendants of people who were enslaved at the meadow. And we are working to try to keep their story alive and also to help, you know, people know that racehorses in the old days, they were all trained pretty much by folks who had probably formerly been in that vicinity. You know, they're descended of the slaves. Many of the horses are raised on former plantations. And I think that's an important part of the history that we need to honor and acknowledge.
We certainly look forward to that. Kate Chenery Tweedy joining us on Off to the Races this morning. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning and look forward to hearing so much more on this 50th anniversary year of Secretariat's romp through the Triple Crown. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
My pleasure, Nick. Thank you. Bye.
Kate Chenery Tweedy joining us on Off to the Races this morning, earlier this morning recorded as she was in Ashland, Virginia. We're headed to break here on Off to the Races. By the way, quickly, that Sports Century series, highly recommend it. Before there was 30 for 30, ESPN ran that Sports Century series, and the Secretariat one. Really timely. If you haven't seen it in a long time, I strongly encourage you to go back and take a look at it. Keith Fustel will be Frank Vespi's guest on Living the Dream when we come back. Frank, if you can have him fix my putting, I'll work with him on his jump shot. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by The Racing Biz. Ever spring harness racing season at Shenandoah Downs kicks off April 1st. No fooling. Post time every Saturday and Sunday is 1 o'clock. Parking and admission are always free at Woodstock, located off of I-81 in the cradle of the Shenandoah Valley. Disappointed that you can't make live racing? Wager online with Twin Spires, TVG, ExpressBet, Naira Bets, or at any Rosie's Gaming Emporium or Virginia Horseplay OTB. Find out more at shenandoahdowns.com.
Live racing at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races rolls on every Wednesday through Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern through March 1st and every Thursday through Saturday through the month of October. Mark your calendars for Friday, August 25th for the 15th renewals of the Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 $750,000 Charlestown Oaks, now the richest three-year-old filly sprint stakes race in North America. So come see us here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Learn more at Hollywood Casino Charlestown.com. Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Sorry to disappoint you. No tie a yellow ribbon leading into this segment, but it appears that we're going to get our fill of that today. So good stuff from Nick Hahn. Interesting information from Kate Tweedy about the Secretariat celebrations ongoing in Virginia and the big statue unveiling coming up April 1 in Ashland. Going to be joined here by Laurel Park linemaker Keith Fustel. Five stakes on the docket today at Laurel, topped by the private terms for the three-year-old boys. The next stop on the road to the Preakness. It's private terms this week, the Tessio next month, and then the Preakness. And Keith, welcome to the program. Did you have FDU on your dance card?
I did not. No. Not involved. But a buddy of mine, it's so funny. He goes, hey, you know, if you key Purdue with some of these other teams, you know, you'll take it from -110 to -104. And I'm like, he texted me after the game, said, I get the idiot award. So yeah, no, I did not have him though.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming for sure. Pretty interesting couple days of the tournament with Princeton and Furman, and now FDU going through. So,
Good stuff.
Are we going to have any of those on today's card at Laurel? And any Princetons or FDUs?
You know, I haven't unearthed anything to that level. No, so you know, if something jumps out, $30, I'm probably not going to have it today on time.
Okay, fair enough. Keith, let's talk about the private terms here. Mile on a 16th, $100,000. It's three-year-old boys going two turns here. And when we spoke yesterday or the other day, you said this was a tricky one to line. And I feel like looking at this race, everybody's kind of got questions to answer here. Which way are you? Where are you kind of leaning on this one?
Wow. You know, a horse that I think I may have lined a little bit too high in Circling the Drain. I'm going to key around him and Haste Strike a little bit. Circling the Drain, interesting, they put the blinkers on for Freddie Ruff. Of course, taking plenty of place. But he's 2 for 2 at the distance. I'm just wondering if he was loping a little bit last time once he got the lead. Register a horse with a big gaudy fire last time. Battle with like a 22-1 shot, opened up 8 or 10 on the field, and they're a little match race basically from around the turn of the wire. I didn't know how to adjust for that. Was it a little bit of a, you know, line that a number I couldn't quite grasp. So coffee with Chris, drawing outside, picking up weight, but he's in game. I think there's lots of ways to go in the night. There's 4 or 5, and I really couldn't talk y'all any of them.
It's a pretty interesting race here. I talk a little bit. You and I talked about yesterday about how great is Nate. He's been he's 4 for 4 going 6 furlongs. Ran in the Gotham, lost his rider out of the gate, and then did something kind of freakish after that.
Yeah, just kind of worked his way around horses through horses and ran. Visually, without the rider, a great race. But, you know what, now he's got to stack back up 118 pounds and going to try 2 turns for the first time. Interesting, because his running style, you know, that he's shown at Delaware and Parks, kind of sitting just off of it, making those good middle moves and then grinding it out, sprinting. How is that going to kind of, you know, go here with his mile and 16th distance, moving into some speed types like Register, Coffee with Chris, that has the staying power. Even a feeling woozy, who I think will be, you know, very aggressive inside, taking advantage of that post.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I talked with Andy Simoff, who's How Great Is Nate's trainer, and he said he's expecting, or maybe hoping for, kind of a similar trip to what he's had sprinting, you know, kind of sit back and make a run. So we'll see how that works out. I did want to ask you about feeling woozy. This is a horse that is kind of moving in the right direction and seems to have taken a notable step forward with 1 added ground and 2 Lasix and blinkers on.
Absolutely. And he's taken care of, Circling the Drain a couple times, right? On a couple occasions. And he may be better suited. I think the one turn mile is a tougher race than the mile and a 16th. So using that speed quickly to his advantage, maybe catch a little bit of a breather into the backside. Maybe he gets that chance and stretches it even further. Tammy Smith, no stranger to pulling off an upset in one of these stakes.
No, that is surely true. Okay, so you said you're going to key around circling the drain and Hay Strike and try yeah. and kind of get something underneath maybe.
Yeah, mix and match around there. I mean, from a betting standpoint, I can't take anything less than probably 3-1 on anybody in here. Hay Strike, yeah, I glanced even at the third draft, Frank. It's kind of on the sluggish side when you really looked at it compared to other horses, but he adds LASIK, been a good angle for McPeak, trying to find a race, it looks like to them, where he can get some confidence. He's certainly run against the right kind down in Kentucky and in Louisiana. So he might just get the right kind of flow to today, because I think things will ramp up here once they hit to about the 3-8 pole. You could have a convergence of horses, and he might be that one that just brings that grinding style that works.
Yeah, he is an interesting horse. LASIK's on for the first time. I mean, he was beat a length by Instant Coffee. He turns around and wins the LeCompte. I mean, he's kept the right company. The speed figures aren't great, but he certainly has kept the right company. So let's spin one back here to the Beyond the Wire. This is the sort of analog to the private terms for fillies on the way to the Black Eyed Susan Stakes. And while I feel like the private terms is a really interesting race and a lot of horses that might be pretty good, this feels like a really kind of tepid group to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll see scratch the one, Pharaoh's Baby Gal. I don't know if you got that one yet or not.
Oh, no, that's breaking news here.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that up on Equibase. I got that from the stewards. I just want to, if we can confirm that. But that's what I got early from the stews, and was a little bit shocked when that happened. But I'll give you some other scratches in the car too that are definitely going to make a difference. Yeah, scratch Pharaoh's Baby Gal confirmed in race 8. So the horse that intrigues me, I made her best bet of the day is Lady Lowry. Coming in off of the synthetic at Turfway Park. Connections Eclipse Thoroughbred and the rest of the group kind of bought into this one, it looks like, after the debut. She's very professional. She's been in big, big fields. I like that. She's handled that. She dropped through a shorter field today. She was very tactical, and I think the stamina buildup is going to work off the Turfway surface. It's certainly bred to handle the dirt.
Yeah, certainly dirt top and bottom there. So you're not at all concerned by either the added ground or the switch, the surface switch?
Not terrible. No. Munnings is solid, 15-16% dirt route fire. Bottom side, it's there when you look through the family that can get a route of ground. So, no, and definitely off of that surface, I think she'll move forward off of that. Mm-hmm.
Any interest in either Cairo Sugar or Happy Clouds?
Yeah, Happy Clouds is interesting. I think she's definitely going to be an impact, maybe definitely in the middle portion of the race. That last 3/16 is a kind of a concern for me. She's a little bit sprint heavy on that bottom side from a breeding standpoint. But her position, with Pharaoh's Baby Gal out, I think she'll be fairly close early. And Cairo Sugar looks rateable. She's improved with the blinkers. The LASIK goes back on. Fans of her, unfortunately, aren't going to get the 27-1 that they got on her last time in the Maddie May, the state bred race up at Aqueduct. And she beat a decent horse, a 3-time winner in Le Bon Temps.
Yeah, who had won a couple of the state bred stakes up there. So
had been
doing pretty well. All right, so you're leaning on Lady Lowry, best bet of the day. Talking with Keith Fustall, the line maker at Laurel Park here on Off to the Races. One race prior to that, the Harrison Johnson Memorial. Harrison Johnson, a trainer who was tragically killed at a young age in a plane crash 40 or so years ago, but his family always turns out in force for this race. And a horse that's probably going to turn out in force for this race right now is Nimitz Class.
Yeah. Perfect routing, right? On the main track. And you know, he kind of reminds me, and I'll say it again, I'm going to do the show with Dan, I'm with him, the racing for him, you know, signs of maybe like a like an early Paige McKinney type, you know, PA bred, similar styles, will, you know, able to adjust to the flow of these races and the talent really showing. I was surprised to see him on the lead, surprised to see him take that much money last time out. But he certainly, it's kind of the now house. American Patrol, you're going to get the fast track today. He's shown to be a different horse. Let's see what he can do. But he's going to have some added flow to deal with a little higher price.
Yeah, I think American Patrol is a real interesting horse, and I'm going to be curious to see what kind of odds you, you know, if you get that morning line of 4-1, because on his best, he's good enough here, and he's also shown races where he'll be 40 lengths back, so he's a little unreliable.
I had him second choice, kind of flip-flop a little bit late. Would not be surprised to see some money, you know, come in on that one. I still want at least I don't know, 3-5. I don't know if I do much below that.
Yeah, and the Our Nation on Parade has taken he takes play every race, so you have to assume
he's a trier, right? He's a trier, but he had dead aim off that duel last time. But you know, hey, that's been on a roll. We saw yesterday what happened with that. The jockey just unbelievable day for those two.
Jamie Rodriguez, 7 wins yesterday.
Yeah, nuts.
Yeah, he first 5 in a row. First 5 races in a row is quite a day for him. All right, and then we've got a couple of state bred races to start the stakes. We got the Not for Love for the boys sprinting 6 furlongs, and the Conniver for the fillies going 7/8. And Jerry Robb could have a pretty good day.
Well, Jerry Robb, depression a little bit had set in concerning race number 6. There was a scratch of back in the wood, which I said, okay, I Love Josie. We'll just go right to the front. I Love Josie, now a scratch.
Oh, okay.
Out of the Not for Love. So that is going to make Eastern Bay. He'll be probably 4-5, maybe even a touch lower in that race coming off. You know, the big return in the General George, and then a pretty good effort in the top pool in New York. So I think he gets back here. He's going to be off the company. I'll take Breezy Gust on the outside coming in for Jose Arce and Attic, maybe to kind of go ahead and spring a little upset. The flow will work maybe to his advantage due to these scratches.
Yeah, so who do you who's going to be on the lead here, do you suppose?
Well, I tell you, if the one breaks, Arden's lucky to be, he's very fast. Now, he has a tendency to break a little bit slow and then hustle up. He breaks clean, I could see him on the lead. If not, you know, you got a horse like Karen's Notion or the outside horse, the Breezy Gust, I think breaks will be formally placed as well.
We always kind of root for Karen's Notion and Nancy Heil.
There, oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a little bit of a. It's going to be a little bit of a tough spot. Although he has his moments,
I mean, he's got Sean out to pick up a check, without doubt. I think he could definitely be third or fourth in the field.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. All right, and we'll finish up with the Conniver Award Wanted. Response time, terrific form coming in. That's another Hammy Smith trainee.
No, she's just turning. Going back when she was younger, I thought flash hints of talent. It looks like it's kind of all losing out right now for her. You know, Street Loop, Jerry Robb may go ahead and try to send out, but believe it or not, the 10-time winner, second off a break, off a little slow to soften things up. I don't know. The 7/8 response time is handled it on a track with a little bit of moisture. She was just awfully good going by for Stoker Chan last time. And Will Award Wanted, you know, she looks like the main threat. Kind of grind it down.
So, is this one where you? It sounds like this is one where you're saying we'll just eat the chalk.
It looks
here.
Like 1 or 3 in multi-race wagers. I don't know who could jump up and get them. I mean, Street Loot just hasn't come back. You know.
Yeah. Maybe a year ago you'd see it
last time, but yeah, I just don't see her in the realm of completely in the realm.
Yeah, no, it does seem like it's those two. All right, yeah. Keith Fustel, any last thoughts here?
That's it. Lady Lowry, go FDU. I'm rooting for all those long shots in the NCAA. That'll be good. But we're looking forward to a good day here today. We got great weather. Main track will be fast. Track played a little bit. You know, you could close on this track yesterday, see if it holds true again today. But we'll see if the next train and the J-Rod train keep rolling along.
You better get out of the way of that train for sure.
Yes,
all right, Keith, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck today.
You got it. Take care.
All right, Nick, that was Keith Fustel, the Laurel Park line maker, giving us some insights to today's Laurel card.
Yeah, he was in a clubhouse somewhere. I just don't know if it was on the golf course or on the racing oval. But, little distant there, long range, sounded like, for Fustel there. Did you happen to see the FDU coach, the Fairleigh Dickinson coach, dancing around in the green hat for St. Patrick's Day?
I did.
That was pretty funny. I mean, I wish I can be pretty spontaneous, but when he put that hat on and started dancing around, that was great. Great moment for them.
No, it was a pretty cool thing. And you were talking off air. I grew up in New Jersey, and back when I was a kid, Fairleigh Dickinson was known as Fairleigh Ridiculous. And I don't think anybody's laughing anymore, though. That was quite a thing for them.
No, I've heard that. We'll drift off if I go on a tangent here. I don't have enough time left. But, I got a Fairleigh Dickinson story I can tell you about off air. Thanks. Great interview there with Keith. And good luck in the brackets and at the track today.
All right. Sounds good. Same to you. I'll look forward to hearing what Derby Bill's got to say.
Derby Bill. We can't wait. He's just around the corner here. Going to get him teed up. Just a little bit of a heads up. Kathleen O'Connell became the leading female trainer of all time this past week. So congratulations to her, longtime supporter of the meet at Colonial Downs. Been up several times from Tampa supporting the meet up here. And she crossed that plateau during the week. And mentioned earlier, Jamie Rodriguez won 7 races at Laurel yesterday. They got named to a couple more mounts today, I'm sure, because of that. But he's the first jockey to do that at Laurel since Special K did it, I think, back in 2002 or 3. It's been a little while since that happened. Of course, the famous 7 wins was Mario Pino, who won 7 races at Colonial Downs, and it happened to be July 7th of 2007. It's how I remember that so easily. On 7-7-7, he won 7. So, just a little bit of background information there. Going to reach out for the big guy here and see if he's got some St. Patrick's Day weekend hijinks for us. Let's see what kind of intro music he laid out for us this week. Not really surprised.
Danny boy,
oh, Derby Bill,
the pipes are calling
for Derby Bill. Derby Bill joining us on Off to the Races, giving us a little bit of leftover shepherd's pie from yesterday, and joining us on Off to the Races. When you sent that to me this morning, all I had to do was chuckle. I didn't know you were such a connoisseur of English folk music, but or Irish folk music, but I guess you are. Derby Bill, oh Danny boy, where'd you get that one from?
Hey, there's 32 horse racing tracks in Ireland, man. Many insomnia nights betting Irish horse racing. So a tribute to him, and it's also Danny Boy, a tribute to the Washington Commanders owner leaving. Goodbye, Danny Boy. Goodbye,
Is that
Danny
true?
Boy.
Is that breaking news? I haven't seen anything this morning.
I think he's packing his bags. I haven't got the official confirmation from from my inside source, the janitor at FedEx. So I haven't kicked him out yet, but they're working on it. So Danny Boy is a tribute song to him leaving too. Big day in Maryland today. Big day in Maryland for basketball and hoops and horses.
Yeah, we're shut out here in Virginia. Shame for VCU. Not a little disappointed there that they couldn't do a little bit better, but they had a tall task, literally, in front of them with St. Mary's. So we'll just have to focus on horse racing here in Virginia the rest of the way. Of course, UVA losing the other night in upset fashion. Last week, just recapping our picks in the Tampa Bay Derby, you had Shesterkin, who finished 7th, it looks like, on the chart. And I had Classic Legacy, who finished 3rd, the favorite, Tappet Trice, the winner there. So we don't really we try and stay away from the favorite if we can, unless it's just in dire need. I finally made the board, Derby Bill, with that 3rd place finish. Let's see if we can do better in the private terms. Our feature race of the week, a 8-horse field going to the gate here. It is led by a pretty balanced field. Register, David Donk's horse, coming in from New York, getting 3-1 in the morning line there, set by Keith Fustel. He also has Hayes Strike for Ken McPeak and Coffee with Chris, both at 7-2. And then How Great is Nate? This is a mile and a 16th, kind of part of the series that leads up to the Preakness Stakes through the spring stakes calendar at Laurel Park. What are your thoughts in the 8-horse field in the 9th race today?
Yeah, the private terms is the prep race, as you said, for the Tessio and then the Kentucky Derby. I doubt we get a horse out of here. Coffee with Chris is on about my top 200. He's in my top 200 Derby list. Coffee with Chris should go off as a favorite today, the 8-horse. Early, the Keith Fuelsoul head line is 7-2, but that Keith will being very generous with that. I think Coffee with Chris goes off about 9-5. Most Irish people and Derby Bill feeling woozy watching Hoops and Bushnell and Jameson. So feeling woozy is a nice horse in this race for Ham Smith. Everybody knows him. He's by Irish War Cry, so you can connect the dots on my Irish theory there. Feeling woozy, but I'm taking How Great 'Tis Nate. This horse was in the Gotham. He fell coming out of the gate, and the jockey went flying. It was just if you bet on him, you were just ready to beat Batman's ass. Can you say that in the Gotham?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to try to, but yeah, How Great is Nate? That was a horse I was circling too. I'm going to have to drift off of him since you picked that horse, but I did bet him in the Gotham that day, Raising Kane winning the Gotham there. So I'll end up taking the favorite here, another New York horse, Register then, Vargas aboard here, 3-1 in the morning line. So How Great is Nate? That is going to be a good pick today for reasons that Keith and Frank laid out earlier in the show. I want to get to this race at Oaklawn. You sent it to me, and it kind of snuck up on me a little bit here, but it features a couple of horses that we know from Colonial Downs in this group, with Necker Island, who just impressed the living daylights out of me when he watched a replay of his own race after winning it and then getting DQ'd. He was watching the judges there. I've never seen a horse watch a race, a replay of a race like that before. But then there's Last Samurai, who's trained by the coach, Dwayne Lucas, coming off a win in the Razorback. So give us your pick in the Essex, the 9th race at Oaklawn today.
Yeah, I was there. I had money on Necker Island. I got a raw deal at the New Kent. If I was there live, I probably would have got thrown out of the building. So it was a foul that was unfallible. in my eyes, and he should have won the Chesapeake Stakes at Colonial Downs, the hard-spun animal there. Just a solid big-time closer. This one will be flying late, as usual. Yeah, he has picked up $250,000 in earnings, so I still like him. But you said Last Samurai is red hot. I mean, that's another closer, and Dwayne Lucas is hot coming in. He just loves Oakland. Dwayne loves it down there. I mean, they just a corned beef. We call him Mr. Corned Beef, Dwayne Lucas. He might be taking the Last Samurai in Arkansas daily double in basketball because he's a big basketball guy, as you know. So big day for Arkansas, and then a big day for the private terms and the Maryland Terrapins playing with Alabama tonight. So a lot of parlays you can do, multi-sport parlays, Nick, today. But that race, I'm sticking with Last Samurai to win another one and get towards $2 million in earnings. Won at Colonial Downs. You know, started his career at Colonial Downs.
Yeah, no, actually turned it around. He was trained by Dallas Stewart back in those days, but who's a protege of Dwayne Lucas. So, Last Samurai, a very up-and-coming horse now as a five-year-old. Here in about the last 30 seconds of the show here, Derby Bill, what else do you like? What are your thoughts on the Triple Crown so far?
Well, the Triple Crown still a forte for everybody. The Oakland has the eighth race, the Whitmore, which is named after great horse, has Tijuana Twist, another one that ran at Colonial Downs, and he's got a good chance at maybe $10. So Tijuana, I guess that's the right pronunciation. Tijuana Twist and the Whitmore is race eight, and that's before the Last Samurai race. So you can do a daily double at Oakland today, and then sit back and watch.
That's actually Tejano Twist, but also a horse that raced at Colonial. Want to thank everybody. Thanks, Derby Bill, in the late segment of the show here. Just want to thank everybody that was part of the show today. Daryl Wood came back to the show. We spoke with Kate Chenery Tweedy earlier this morning. Frank Vespi spoke with Keith Fustel, and of course, Derby Bill breaking down the Triple Crown action. Big weekend next weekend. If you're out of the bracket, you may want to jump in the Triple Crown mix. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. We'll talk to you next week, post time, 10 o'clock.